friend with me today.
It's bring a friend to the podcast.
It's my very best friend in the whole world.
We're more than friends, actually.
This is my husband, Josh.
I've been wanting to meet him for so long.
Bren, I'm brought here for a very special purpose today.
Oh my gosh. Well, we had him on for
Christmas
episode with all the outlaws.
The clan.
And I think we should bring him back.
Yeah.
Today he's sporting a very full beard. I told him at Christmas, I guess, that he should grow his beard out. Like, for January is what the agreement was.
I don't think that was the agreement. We went to the Christmas party, right? And Brian talked to us and said that I should grow out my beard. And you were like, oh, yeah, you were all for it.
That
was the extent of the agreement.
And now it's March and he's got a full, like, lumberjack.
Yeah, you can't see his navel.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, you look great.
And I have to say, that is the dream beard.
I know. Did you know, fun fact about Josh and Haley, I met him with a beard. Like, he's only ever had a beard, except for when we were dating for Halloween, he shaved his beard for his costume,
which I remember that.
Jim Halpert from The Office, mm-hmm. which he still gets told he looks like, and we call it getting Krasinski'd, mostly like waiters or...
Yeah, I feel like it's happened all over the place. It's always surprising, but everyone always asks me, does anyone ever tell you you look like John Krasinski? And I'm like, probably, a couple times a year.
Oh, yeah. But some people will say, like Jim Halpert. Like the character he played on The Office.
Yeah, I would always think Jim before I think
right.
John.
Because, well, when we met, you had like the flippy hair.
Yeah, he did.
So it was like, you know, that looked more like his haircut. But recently you got called a different character and you were excited that John Krasinski played.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Well, no, he said I looked like John Krasinski in A Quiet Place.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, that's more special than Jim Halpert because he's like legitimately ripped in that movie. Yeah.
Or 13 Hours.
Well, he said, like, you look like that guy. You look like that guy from A Quiet Place. But he was like excited that it wasn't John Krasinski from The Office. It was like when he was like all muscular and in a different movie.
Which I feel like is more appropriate.
I would agree, Josh.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyways, we forced him to come record with us.
Yeah. So I thought I would just ask you guys some. I mean, it's not like lightning round stuff, but I would like to know. I think the listeners would want to know.
You have some big fans, Josh. They're waiting to hear from you.
Yeah. I mean, we get emails all the time, like, have Josh on again. What was, okay, here's a question. What's something about your marriage or your life that is different than you thought it would be when you first married? And that could be about marriage, parenting.
In a good way or a bad way?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I'll start, and then maybe you can share what you're thinking. I mean, growing up, well, once we moved to California, right? Things were obviously a lot different when my family moved to California. And I can't remember exactly when I started playing guitar, but it was pretty early on, probably sixth or seventh grade. And from that point on, that's all I wanted to do was be a musician. I wanted to be in a band. I wanted to tour the world, like all that stuff. And like I did a little bit of touring. I had a couple different bands that were anything big, but that was what I lived for. I was writing songs every single day. And it's just funny to look back on that now, because now I think about, like, I guess even being around people who have toured and seeing the touring life and stuff like that is just 100% not what I want to do with my life.
It was when you met me and your brother-in-laws.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be like that
at all. This is not the life for me. But obviously, I'm very happy with where we're at.
Yeah. What about you, Hales?
Well, that had nothing to do with me.
Well, you is that changed what you're asking? You like took the touring out of his heart.
Wow. This is going to be a great episode. Maybe I should just leave the room and you guys can just do this by yourselves. Well, I was going to say something like mushy. I mean, well, Josh and I had very similar wants and like goals as far as like we both always wanted to be married, and which I guess a lot, I mean, most people would say that, I guess. But like from a very young age, like I wanted to get married and be a mom. And I would like fight with my high school teachers. Like they would start talking about like college stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm not going. And they're like, what? That we would have to do like all these like projects and stuff about, you know, schools that we might be interested in and whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to get married and be a mom. And that was so like, they did not like that at all. But, and Josh always wanted to be married and to be a dad. And so I think when we got married, we were both like, we did it. Like, this is what we're doing. I don't know. But, and then having kids, that's been like our biggest.
You always wanted to be married and be a mom. So is your reality now as a mom and a wife, is it exactly what you pictured or is it something different?
Well, I always thought I would be in Tennessee. So we moved when I was like a freshman in high school to California. And that was like crazy. I guess I thought I'd stay in California. Yeah.
You even talked about potentially moving back though. I remember after I met you, you talked about maybe going back for your senior year. Something made you stay in California. I'm not sure what it was.
Oh my gosh. It was a boy.
It was a guy with a beard, the perfect beard.
Yeah. So really I feel like all my dreams came true and life is perfect. And everything worked out how I wanted, and
she read that just like you wrote it, Josh.
No, but really, like, I always wanted, well, like, something from y'all's marriage that I always want, like, that was very evident was that you guys were best friends, and you still, like, liked being around each other and laughed all the time, and, like, that's, like, probably my favorite thing about our marriage is that like, we laugh a lot, and we can still make each other laugh, and it's just fun. Like, we're coming up on 13 years this summer. We'll be 13 years, which is crazy. But we still laugh every single day at each other. Like, at each other. With each other and at each other.
Yeah, I think that's so healthy. I mean, it's if you lose the relationship that you had when you were dating, and that's like, I have a picture of you guys when you guys met, and I don't know if it was your engagement picture or just dating, but you're at the lake, and I think you're doubled over, and you can just tell, like, I don't know what happened, but man, those kids are having fun right there.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit of awkward energy, too, because I don't think we were officially together at that time.
You're trying to take a picture at the lake.
Yeah, and everyone's like, Josh and Haley, take a picture together. Take a picture together. And we're like,
I mean, I was a perfect picture of composure. Oh, that was God. Mostly
yeah,
just
yeah,
her.
I can I prove that.
Yeah.
I have to put that out.
Well, we recreated it for our engagement pictures, I think. I don't think we did it at our wedding. Maybe we did. I don't remember. But yeah, that
was 13 years ago.
I know. We're getting old. Well, Josh is getting old because he's 5 years older than me. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. I will always be younger. Yeah, we just like each other. I don't know. Okay. Next question.
What's the most challenging thing with parenting that you never saw coming?
Well, I think parenting in itself was definitely the biggest challenge for our marriage. So kids ruin everything and just don't. I'm just kidding.
You can't put that on there. You're talking about my grandchildren.
No, well, Josh and I are very similar in like how we like to spend our time, I guess. Pretty, like most of the time. We're very chill, okay? And babies are not chill. So you throw babies into the mix and now it's your quote again, like, you see how selfish you are. It proves how selfish you are.
I think what stands out to me is just that sacrifice of time we had developed an understanding and like a really, I guess, a comfortable routine where we're both very similar in that we love spending time together. Obviously, we love that quality time, but we also need that internal time to be by ourselves and kind of close everything out to recharge. And so we had a perfect routine for that, I feel like. And then you bring kids into the mix, which need you 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge learning curve for me, especially where I did realize how naturally selfish I was and how much I coveted that time, not only for us, but for myself. And so it took a long time to get past that. And I think you still, each new stage of life for the kids challenges you in different ways where, you know, you get to the point where they are kind of self-sufficient and they can do things on their own, but they still crave that personal time with you, you know, even if you're just sitting next to them or they just want to be touching you or they want to play a video game with you. And it's always been challenging, but it's important to invest that time.
I remember me and your mom at some point when we were in the season you guys are in, I remember we were talking one night. I was like, what did we do before children? Yeah. Like we had a schedule and we would get things done or we were working and we would come home and we would eat dinner and then we'd watch TV. Like, what did we do? Like, and I remember like the kids take all that up.
Yeah.
But I have something really encouraging to tell you guys, that it's just a season. And then you're going to get in all that time you want to yourself. You're going to get that back, especially when they start driving or it may look different. Like I remember I just need some time for myself. And I would take them to soccer practice, take the boys to soccer practice or you that one time.
Shut it.
Or, you know, like dance or whatever you were doing. And I would have that time. That would be my time. Like, cause you're off with a coach or instructor or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm by myself. You know, we didn't have phones where you could scroll on the phone, but you do get it back. And then as the kids get older and they get busier, but then the new thing is you're going to be like, do they need me?
I know. I'm already seeing that some with them being in school. Cause I'm like, oh, they have like their own lives.
Yeah. What's my role?
Well, we went to open house a couple weeks ago and Josh and I just kept like looking at each other and giggling. Cause it's so funny to see that they like were walking down. I mean, it was packed with families and kids and everybody, but we'd be walking down the hallway and you just hear like, oh, hey, Lincoln. And we're like, who is that? Like some kid that we don't know. We don't know his family. Like, but he knows him from school or, you know, Emery. I mean, that was open house is like an Enneagram one's dream, I think. Cause she was like, and this is where we do this. And this is where we do this. And at this time we switch from doing, you know, reading to science. And when we do that, I sit over here and then we go down to this classroom. And like, I was so turned around. I was like, I don't even know the layout of the school anymore. Like I have no idea where we are, what we're doing, but it was really cool to see that. But it's also like, oh, they are going to have their own lives, like where they're not going to need us every second. And like, I have that in my head. And we kind of talked about this last episode, like you just don't know until you get there, but you also see other parents. And if they're a little bit ahead of you, you think like, oh, well they know everything, but really like that's their first time doing it too. But I have it in my head. Like I remember growing up and as we would get older and you know, y'all would leave us without a babysitter. And it was just kind of, you know, I was 4 years younger, but I was always in charge when they went out. But anyways, like, when are we going to get to that stage where like we can kind of have our own agenda that doesn't revolve around like being like, it sounds so terrible, but you know, like when is that stage where it's like, we could, you know, go out to dinner. Like, I remember calling you guys. I mean, like, where are you? Oh, we went to grab dinner. Like, and I'm like, wait, what? But, you know, I was like 12 years old and it's like, you didn't have to like factor me. I can make my own food. You know, like, when are we going to get there?
You'll get there. So, Josh, we were talking at Christmas about how your family is a lot quieter than Haley's family. But now that you guys have your own family, is it more of a lamb thing or a kind of atmosphere? Or is it a Barton thing when it comes to the volume and...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely somewhere in the middle, for sure. I feel like the kids are so much different than my sister and I were, which is funny because they're roughly the same ages. My sister's a little bit older than me. But I think what's nice about the families blending together is, you know, we had similar values growing up. And we had, you know, obviously my parents have set a great example for what a marriage is supposed to look like. And I know no one's perfect, but like I had that growing up. And I think you had the same thing, Haley, where we were able to see what was really important. And
I think it's pretty rare too, that we both came from families whose parents are still together and that loved the Lord and had, you know, had raised kids pretty much, you know, the same. We, you know, we were in Tennessee and they were in California, but still, even like going back through, I don't know, like a lot of our upbringing was really similar with church activities, or, you know, we were always involved at church. And I think it's really special and rare that we both came from families that are believers, that they're still together and have set up these wonderful marriages and families that, you know, it wasn't like, oh, we're not going to do this how your parents did it, or we're going to do it how, you know, it was like we grew up similar enough that we both had the same goals in mind when we started our marriage and the way we want to raise our kids. And it was pretty easy for the most part to know, like, and yeah, I guess that falls into like values and morals were really similar.
Yeah. But it's really important. We had those couples when we were single looking like, man, they're whatever the secret is, they've got it. They know what it is. And they're, so we want to be like that. What we learned is everybody does that. Everybody has that. And it is rare for Josh to be raised in a home like that. And you were raised in a home like that. And so you guys have those pictures and memories of like, it works. It's not perfect, but it works. And no, nobody quits, and nobody, like, we keep going. Like, we're just, you know, to quit and is not an option, but you keep going, you keep learning and you get closer. But it's also what you guys know, which a lot of people haven't realized yet, that I mentor or that me and your mom counsel, is like, they say, we want a marriage like yours. And our answer is, you can never have a marriage like ours because it's ours.
Yeah.
And there's different people involved. There's different personalities and giftedness and the, you know, perspective of how people look at. So you can never have our marriage. We could never have those other people's marriage. But you can take what you see is a strong trait, that something or a same belief, and like, okay, we're going to make sure that's part of ours, but your marriage is your marriage. And so you can't compare, you know, every little aspect of every little marriage. It's like, I want a marriage like yours. It's like, you can never have a marriage like mine,
because
there's different people involved.
I mean, one of the biggest things, which I still struggle with, is just the words, I'm sorry. Like, those two words are some of the most powerful things you can say in a marriage. And it doesn't come naturally.
Right.
Thank you,
Adam.
Right. But if not for those two words, like, I'm sure we would be in a much different place. And that's a challenge to, I guess, to be open enough and willing to admit when you're wrong.
Yeah. It takes humility, and that doesn't come natural either. It's like, I have to protect myself, you know? And yeah, it takes a huge amount of humility for somebody, especially a man, to say, can you forgive me? A man a lot of times will say, if I was wrong, I'm sorry. No, there's no if about it. You know you're wrong. She knows you're wrong. Now the children watched it and they know you're wrong. And so it is, it's huge. But when people can say, like, I need to own that. I, I was wrong in that, and I need you to forgive me. And I know there's been times that your mom would say, like, when I would say, can you forgive me? She'd look, yes, but not right now. It's like, I just need some time.
Lincoln says that because we taught from, I got the advice early on from like a mom's group or something. Because, you know, parents will always say like, apologize to your sister. Go say you're sorry to your brother. But something a speaker said once was teach your kids to forgive. It's not just about apologizing, like teach your kids to forgive. So we started when they were little, itty bitty, that if something happened, you say, I'm sorry. And then the other person says, I forgive you. And they still do it to this day. But one thing Lincoln will say is, he said, I'm not ready. So Emery will be like, I'm sorry, Lincoln, for da 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 da. And she'll be standing there waiting for him to forgive her. And we're all just kind of watching. And
yeah, I think, I mean, there's a little bit of genius in that too, where like, if he has the self-awareness to say, I'm not at that point yet.
That's honest.
To be willing, yeah, to be honest and willing to admit that and not want to say something that he doesn't really mean.
Right, right. Like, yeah, you don't want to fake the whole emotion of it. I remember one time we were keeping him and he was struggling and your mom said, you need to go up in your room and find your happy heart. And so then she goes, you might want to go check on him. And so I go up there and he's like, hey, how's it going, bud? And he's like, I have looked everywhere for my happy heart and I can't find it.
I was like, it's not in here.
But I love, that is so honest, and that's going to serve him well as he becomes a teenager and then a young man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that honesty to like, yeah, I know I need to, but I can't right now. I would take that any day.
Yeah.
Then like, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Blah, blah, blah. You know, right. Just to get it over with. And then, yeah. Well, kudos to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
When's the book coming out?
Oh, my gosh. I do think, like, one of the best things about our marriage is, and that we've learned, is, like, communication. And I think watching you and Mom, again, goes back to, like, being friends. Like, actually enjoying being around each other and that comes so natural when you have that type of relationship. And I'm like a chronic oversharer anyways. So when I like started figuring that out, it's like, well, we'll communicate. And that's been, I mean, that was even part of our premarital counseling, was like communicating, like not expecting the other one to read your mind or whatever. But it really does build such a great friendship and relationship when you have that open communication. I mean, we talk about everything, like, and it's especially now with like texting is so funny. We talked about this when Mom was on once about, you know, when you were traveling or whatever, and she would just have to like wait until you were available to call her. And it's so funny to think now, because it sounds dumb, but like texting has been a huge part of our relationship and with parenting and everything. Like, I can text him about something immediately, and I mean, he can look down at his phone. He can't always text me back right then, but like I can usually get a response pretty soon after. And that's, I mean, it, even like funny stuff is like funny to text. I don't know. Is this advocating for texting? I don't know. It's just like, it's so nice that we can communicate and tell each other everything, and then know that like nothing's off limits or like too embarrassing or too shameful or whatever, and know that like we're in this for the long haul. And
well, too, it speaks volumes to you guys, because a lot of people, they don't have that honest communication, so they always feel somewhat guarded in the marriage. They feel guarded because if he turns on me or she turns on me, I have to have something to fall back on. So they're always like, I'm just not going to lay it all out there and like know everything. And like, I've got to have some, you know, in case something goes on, I have to fall back. And it's like, you're going to, like, what you're doing is you're preparing to fail.
Yeah.
So, well, it's been great to have you guys on the show. Josh, thank you, man.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Dad, for...
Yeah. Thanks for letting me peek into your lives, and you guys are doing great. So, as Haley says, if you have questions about marriage, you can call Haley at...
You don't even know my phone number. You can't even tell that joke.
I don't know. I don't know anybody's phone number.
I still have a Fresno area code.
559.
Yep.
that's all I know.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, anything you want to add, Dad?
No, this has been good.
All right. Thanks for listening. Please follow us on...
Brentlam Music Facebook.
Right. And...
Instagram is Brentlam Podcast.
Yes. And you can email us.
Email us at brentlampodcast@gmail.com.
That's correct.
Bam!
Josh, you looked like you wanted to say something.
I just wanted to say I love you.
Aw, love you.
Look, was that to me, Josh, or was that Haley?
I guess both of you at the same
time. Okay, he's like dying to get out of this room.
All right, love you.
Okay, love you.